Towner looking inside. It's not there. Out top to Eiler. Daniel lobbing inside to Luke Bates. Bates has position on Wagon Blast. Backing in. Layup will roll in. And a foul on Wagon Blast. Luke Bates with a chance at the three-point play. And St. John's Tipton is back up by 10. As Bates has 9, it's 43-33. St. John's Tipton, 3:35 remaining in the game.
High school basketball from yesterday's quadruple header of hoops from the NPL tournament in Lincoln. Dusty had all of the action. He'll have four more games for you today just to see if he can do it again. That's right. And then he'll have four more coming up on Friday. I'll have a couple for you on Thursday, and I'll have two more for you on Friday, two more on Saturday. So I'll do six games. Dusty will be doing 12, plus he did one last week. But 12 games this week for Dusty, six for me. And three straight days in Colby for me, and Dusty with, he likes to head to Lincoln often this week, yesterday and today, and then coming up on Friday. And to recap the NPL tournament from yesterday, we hand it over to Dusty.
Yeah, we had quarterfinals yesterday in the league tournament, as we had four games at the grade school, four at the high school. We had the games at the grade school on Katy Country 94. We'll go through the games there real quick. St. John's Tipton girls advanced to the semifinals with a 59-13 win over Thunder Ridge, as they were led by Carly Brummer with 18, the freshman, a new career high, 17 for Paige Hollerick. They were a co-athlete to the game from SNS Drug and Home Health in Belota. St. John's Tipton improved to 6-2. Lady Jays led 31-5 at halftime and never really looked back in that one. The significance of this is that the seven straight league tournament championship titles that Thunder Ridge has won officially ends. Last year, the tournament again was canceled, so they didn't have a chance to try to get their eighth in a row. Would have been a difficult task, I feel, but and I think Coach Grauerholtz would agree with that. But this year, we know for sure that the long streak of championships in the league tournament will come to an end for the Thunder Ridge Lady Longhorns. They dropped 4-5 with the loss there yesterday. And the boys' first semifinal there yesterday at the elementary school, it was Lakeside winning over Pike Valley, 72-44. The Knight boys got out to a 28-14 lead after one and really never looked back in this one. Kylan Cunningham with 24. Tyler Schoen, another 20-point game, had 20. Cunningham and Schoen each had 12 in the first quarter alone, as there were our co-athletes of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health in Beloit. 7-3 record now for Lakeside, winning their sixth consecutive game, the most points they've scored this season in a game. Pike Valley was led by Jackson Russell with 14, 11 points added by Andy Cooper for the Panthers, who dropped to 4-5 with the loss. The couple pretty good games after that. The Lincoln Lady Leopards, beat the Lakeside Lady Knights. The three-seeded Lakeside squad getting upset by the 11-seed Lincoln. 41-35 was the final in that one, as kind of a game where Lincoln just stayed right in there and actually had a lead of 14-11 at halftime. They led 26-25 after a flurry of buckets that went in there toward the end of the third quarter. A couple threes for Sydney Schmidt and a couple for Alex Biggs of Lincoln, and it was a one-point Lincoln lead after one, and they would go on and extend that and win it by 6, 41-35. As they were led by Biggs with 11 points. She was our athlete of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health in Beloit. And then 10 points added by both Tana Hayworth and Dawson O'Bannon for Lincoln in that one, as they moved to 3-4. It was their third consecutive win there with the victory over Lakeside. The Lady Knights were led by Taylor Betts, the only double-figure scorer, with 11. And then in the nightcap on Katy Country 94, it was St. John's Tipton boys winning 53-44 over Thunder Ridge. They got out to a 22-9 lead, scored just 2 points in the second quarter, but they were able to withstand that, pick up the 53-44 victory. Luke Bates tied a season high with 16 points, including 6 of 9 from the free throw line in the fourth quarter alone. And then also 13 points for Daniel Eilert, 11 for Jared Eitzman. All of those came in the first quarter, as St. John's Tipton moved to 6-2 with the win. Bates was the athlete of the game, along with Caleb Wagonblast of Thunder Ridge, who had 16 points, a new career high for him. He made 4 3-pointers, 12 points added by Jaden Stoffer for the Longhorns in that victory, in the loss, as they dropped to 3-5. St. John's Tipton has now won 17 out of 18 against the Thunder Ridge Longhorns in the series. So those were our games that we had on the radio yesterday. All those teams that won those games advanced to the semifinals today. The losers are in the consolation semifinals today at Lincoln Elementary School. The other games yesterday at the high school, it was Osborne winning over Rock Hills on the girls' side, 62-30. Trinity Looters had 23. 10 points each for Taylor Ellison and Grace William as well for Osborne, as they won by 32 and move on to the semifinals, where they will take on St. John's Tipton. And then Sylvan Lucas won 46-25 over Tescott to move to the semis, where they will take on Lincoln in the semifinals today. On the boys' side, it was Osborne winning over Wilson, 57-18. And the other semifinal there at the high school was Sylvan Lucas over Lincoln, 61-30. Again, that sets up now Northern Plains League Tournament semifinal action today. We'll have all the semifinal games on Katy Country 94 from Lincoln High School. Pregame coverage beginning at 2:50 on Katy Country 94. Tip-off for the St. John's Tipton girls, number 4 seed at 6-2 against top seed at Osborne, who's 9-1. That's at 3 o'clock here this afternoon. St. John's Tipton did just 1 week ago beat Osborne in Beloit, 58-49, the only loss this season for the Lady Dogs. And then at 4:30 approximately, the boys' first semifinal, Lakeside 4th seed at 7-3 against the top seeded Osborne Bulldogs, who are 9-0. Osborne won the first meeting in Stockton back on December 7th, 51-40. At 6 o'clock approximately, the second girls' semifinal, 11-seed Lincoln at 3-4 against 2-seed Sylvan Lucas, who's 8-1. The Lady Mustangs won 41-16 on January 4th against Lincoln, but after that, that's when Lincoln started their three-game winning streak here. And then on the boys' side, around 7:30, the second semifinal, St. John's Tipton, the number 3 seed at 6-2 against number 2 seed Sylvan Lucas, who's 8-1, but they're on an 8-game winning streak. Both the Sylvan Lucas girls and boys are on 8-game winning streaks coming into tonight's games. This is the first meeting of the season between the St. John's Tipton and Sylvan Lucas boys. Again, approximately 7:30 here this evening. You can catch all those games again on the radio at Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com as well. Consolation semifinals at Lincoln Grade School, 3 o'clock on the girls' side, Rock Hills against Thunder Ridge. Approximately 4:30, the Pike Valley boys play Wilson. Around 6 o'clock, the Tescott girls against Lakeside. And about 7:30, it'll be Thunder Ridge against Lincoln on the boys' side as well. NPL Consolation, part of the tournament at Sylvan Lucas. In girls' action, Wilson against Pike Valley, Natoma against Chase, and Natoma Chase boys are slated to play today. We'll see if Natoma can make the trip and be able to play. They weren't able to play yesterday against Rock Hills. That was a no contest on the boys' side there in Sylvan Grove. So look at the Northern Plains League tournament. You can find the complete updated bracket at nckssports.com, and we'll continue to update that as we get scores here today and put them in there as well. Again, nckssports.com, your home for the latest in local sports in North Central Kansas. At all times, you can check that out. And again, all the midseason tournament brackets are posted there at nckssports.com as well, including the Mid-Continent League tournament bracket. Mid-Continent League updates that themselves. And Smith Center is headed to the semifinals on the girls' side as they won last night over Ellis, 54-30 in Smith Center. The Lady Red will move to the semifinals on Friday in Plainville. That game will be at 3 o'clock, and they'll find out their opponent coming up later tonight as TMP and Hoxie play at 6 o'clock tonight in Hayes to determine who will be playing in that semifinal matchup against Smith Center. So, again, that's an MCL tournament bracket you can find posted at nckssports.com. The Smith Center boys play have a consolation game tonight in the MCL tournament as they take on Oakley in Norton, as they were not didn't advance in the bracket, losing the feather bracket game on Saturday on the boys' side. So look at what's going on as far as high school hoops are concerned in the area. We do want to remind everybody we'll have high school wrestling locker room chats, and since we have basketball on the radio, those will be online only. We'll get those posted later this afternoon. It might be a little bit earlier than what we normally put them up just because they're not on the radio, and we'll just get them out when we have them ready to go, and that'll be later this afternoon. The high school wrestling locker room chats, we'll talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, and Smith Center. Locker room chats are always posted at katycountry94.com if you missed them at their live airing anyway. But again, today they're online only, katycountry94.com, on our locker room chat podcast with the high school wrestling coaches. So again, all the latest local sports, the midseason tournament brackets, everything you need to know at nckssports.com.
All right. A busy, busy week as we talked about. And it was a busy weekend for NFL football. The first ever wild card Monday night football game won by the Rams in convincing style over the Arizona Cardinals.
Rams pressure is picked up. Kyler! Did he get rid of it? It's intercepted! It's David Long into the end zone for the touchdown. Troy Reader got the hit on Murray. Nearly had him for the safety for two. Instead, it's six, and it's a Rams touchdown.
I have to admit, I was wanting the Cardinals to win, but my head was telling me cheer for the Rams because they have a much better chance to beat the Buccaneers in Tampa. And the ultimate goal for me, besides the Chiefs winning it all, is that the Bucs eliminated so that the Chiefs play somebody different in the Super Bowl. That's my hope. Now watch, the Chiefs won't even make it. The Super Bowl won't matter. But I'm okay with somebody besides Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl. And if Aaron Rodgers gets another one, fine. If Matthew Stafford gets his first, fine. He makes it there. I'm okay with that. But last night, the Cardinals looked like a team that was a deer in headlights and did not know how to handle playoff intensity football. And Brad Gober, head coach of the Bullet football team, is a huge Arizona Cardinal fan. He put on Twitter, Arizona Cardinals, sad emoji face, and then a picture of a dumpster fire. And that's exactly what it was. It was a dumpster fire last night. That play you just heard was a horrific. It was a Carson Wentz, Brock Purdy moment where Kyler Murray just flipped it up in his own end zone to avoid a safety and ended up giving up 6 points and eventually 7 points. It was a horrible decision by Kyler Murray. And the Rams roll as they win it. They were up 1:28-0. They went 34-11. So the Rams will be at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Of course, Chiefs-Bills Sunday night. Pregame at 4 o'clock, 5:30 kickoff on Z96.3 Lake. The divisional playoffs from Arrowhead, a rematch of the AFC title game a year ago, won by the Chiefs. And the Bengals and Titans will play on Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, prime time. It'll be the Niners against the Green Bay Packers. Matthew Derrick at Chiefs Digest will be with us on the show tomorrow. Don't miss that. If you want a preview of the Chiefs-Bills game, a rematch of a game the Bills won earlier this year, 38-20, Matthew Derrick will be with us. He covers the Chiefs inside and out, does a wonderful job. We've had him on many times, and he'll be our guest tomorrow to preview the AFC divisional game between the Bills and the Chiefs. Andy Reid, head coach of the Chiefs, was asked if his team has the same championship hunger as they prepare for the divisional round against the Bills on Sunday night. Andy Reid responded, and I quote, "If you have a piece of chocolate cake and you see another dangling in front of you, you're going to want it. That's how you feel about the Super Bowl. It's the ultimate chocolate cake," end of quote. My stomach just growled while I read that because that sounds really good to me. I love anything chocolate, and chocolate cake is to die for. So I understand what Andy Reid is talking about, and I thought that was a pretty good analogy. He likes to use food as an analogy, and I thought that was well-worded. We'll talk more Chiefs coming up later this week. All right, college basketball, there's a lot of it going on tonight. See, here's the thing, I'm really confused, and I'm sure it's a TV deal. I'm completely sure it's a TV deal. But there, four of the five Big 12 games are tonight on a Tuesday. Like, it used to be, well, we have one on Tuesday, and we have the others on Wednesday. But now it's, like, all on Tuesday, which is high school night, man, across the country. And I don't like it. So then people that are going to high school games can't watch the college games. Or you have to make a decision which way you're going to go. But tonight you've got KU ranked seventh now in the new poll. Gonzaga's number one. Auburn just missed out being number one for the first time ever. Gonzaga's back to one. Baylor with two home losses this past week dropped from 1-5. They didn't drop that far. KU is 7 at 14-2 overall. 3-1. They stand alone at the top of the Big 12 standings right now. TCU is in second, half game back at 2-1, and then followed by Baylor and Texas Tech and Texas. KU's at Oklahoma tonight. Oklahoma lost by one to Iowa State over the weekend. They lost by one to TCU. That's what it was. OU is 12-5, 2-3 in conference play. 5:30 pregame tonight on Z96.3 Lake. Would tip off at 6 o'clock from Norman. Interesting matchup here. David McCormick will take on Tanner Groves. Why should that ring a bell for Jayhawk fans? Well, last year in the first round of the NCAA tournament, David McCormick was nearly unstoppable in the Jayhawks' first round win over Tanner Groves in Eastern Washington. He scored 22 points, 9 rebounds, with physically too much for Groves to handle. But Groves had his fun too. The Eastern Washington big man scored 35 in 33 minutes against KU, hit 5 3-pointers, 11-18 shots overall. So an interesting matchup in the post or on the perimeter, whatever you want to look at it. And also another subplot is head coach Bill Self said on Saturday that he hoped Remy Martin would be out there for this one tonight in Norman. And Self also emphasized that Martin wants to play and the Jayhawks are eager to get him back. There are some rumors that were thrown out there. Mike Vernon was one that was really shoving this out there, that Remy Martin might be done for the season and it has nothing to do with his injury. So what he's insinuating is that Bill Self and Remy Martin aren't getting along and that Remy's not fighting through this injury that he has with the knee and that Bill Self's not happy and so forth and so on. Remy Martin, his dad, came out yesterday on social media and denied that completely and said Remy is very happy at KU and very happy, has a very good relationship with Coach Self. Coach Self, after the game on Saturday, used the F word. He was so upset with that report, which means to me that he knows it's a bunch of hogwash. And when I read that, I was like, this could be easily made up. Like, this is just somebody reading between the lines. Now, maybe there's something more to it, possibly. Is this something coming from a source inside Allen Fieldhouse? Or is this just somebody connecting the dots going, well, you know, early in the year, I watch TV and, And they said that Remy and Bill sometimes butt heads, blah, 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 and so you're making up your own rumor. I don't know, but Bill Self wasn't very happy about it. And he even apologized after he said the F-bomb, because Bill doesn't do that in post-game conferences. He can be upset and everything, but he didn't curse like that.
He's said it plenty of times to his team.
Oh, yes, trust me. I've seen it on the sideline and to the officials.
Yeah,
but
in the press conference.
Not in a press conference. And he apologized right away, but he was very, very frustrated with that report, because I think he's so frustrated because he knows it's a bunch of crud. At least that's what he put out there. And so we'll see. They hope to have him back tonight. You know, to me, don't rush him back. Wait till he's ready. You know, I think they can win at OU without Remy Martin. Maybe they don't. Would they like to have Remy Martin? Absolutely. Remy's not the greatest defender, but he does help push the pace and take a little pressure off of other guys offensively. So that'll be something to watch tonight. Ochai Agbaji is the Big 12 Player of the Week. He's had a wonderful season for KU. Leads the Big 12 offensively, and he's Big 12 Player of the Week. Did you notice that Kai Thomas, who won the MVP of the bowl game the Minnesota Gophers played in this year, he's a 5'11", 205-pound tailback from Topeka High, ran for over 7,000 yards in his prep career, was the Kansas Gatorade Player of the Year senior year in Topeka. He ran for over 800 yards and 6 touchdowns for Minnesota this past season, averaged, almost 5 yards a carry. Well, he entered the transfer portal, and he's going to the University of Kansas. He's going to team up with Devin Neal, who was an outstanding Kansas kid. So the University of Kansas and Lance Leipold now have two outstanding running backs. Two very good running backs. Mm-hmm. And that's a step in the right direction. Now you have Jalen Daniels. If he plays like he did late in the year, if he's legitimate, now all of a sudden, and he can run the ball, suddenly KU's got something offensively. And I've been saying this for a very long time, and Max knows this. Until KU gets a bona fide threat at quarterback, this program isn't going anywhere. But now there's a little bit of hope. And then they're starting to get a little interest from other kids in the transfer portal, and they're looking at improving their defense as well. And so KU is going in the right direction with Lance Leipold as their head coach. No question about that. So I'm sure Max and many KU fans are happy that Kai Thomas is going to be a Jayhawk. K-State men's basketball team will be in action tonight. They'll try to pull off another top 25 upset. Of course, fresh off the upset over Texas Tech on Saturday. Seems like K-State and Bruce Weber, every year they are good for an upset over a team that you didn't see coming. Just every year there's a game that you don't see coming, K-State wins. Nobody was saying K-State was going to beat Texas Tech on Saturday. Not a single soul. Not at least publicly.
Texas Tech wasn't saying it either. That game right there is a classic trap game, right?
It was.
And like, we're on a roll, clippers. We're beating everybody, and then we just got to go to Manhattan and beat this 0-4 team. We're good.
Playing the best. They're playing the best ball of anybody in college basketball. That's what everybody was saying. Press clippings, read them, so forth and so on. And then lose and only score 51 against K-State. And K-State, you know, they said after the game, Mike McGrill, we had a meeting after the TCU game, and we said, listen, no more moral victories. We got to go win games. They were very upset with the criticism Bruce Weber was catching, and they wanted to play and win for their coach. They did. And I think that says something about Bruce Weber. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he should or he shouldn't be back. I'm not going to argue that Bruce Weber should or shouldn't be back next year. I think, to me, it's pretty obvious that he probably shouldn't. Based on his record last few years, he's lucky that he's still there. At the same time, I will say that a credit to a coaching staff, to Coach Lowry, Coach Southwell, and to Bruce Weber, is that when your kids still play hard through adversity and tough times, it'd be easy for this team to fall apart. We know it fell apart with Marcus Foster. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
We've seen it happen before. These kids, they are pretty connected. They're fighting for each other. They're saying these right things. They're kind of saying it's us versus the world attitude. And who knows, that win against Texas Tech may completely change around their season. And Texas is a weird team that are going to play tonight. And by the way, you're not going to get to watch it, K-State fans, unless you get the Longhorn Network, which is another thing that sucks about this whole Big 12 stuff. You got games on ESPN Plus that people are upset about. Now you got one on Longhorn Network, and a lot of people don't even get it. So K-State at Texas, K-State 9-7 overall, 1-4 in the Big 12. Texas is ranked 22nd, 13-4. They have no bona fide great win. They're 3-2 in conference play. It's 7:30 tonight. This is definitely a winnable game for K-State. There's no doubt about it. That place in Austin, it won't be packed and jam-packed and loud. It usually isn't. It's all about football down there, and they're still not even that good in football. They're 5-7 with Texas. Then you make a bowl game. So it just seems like anything that Texas is ranked, they're highly overrated start to year, and by the end of the year, they're kind of like, oh, maybe at the bottom of the top 25 or not even the top 25, whether it be football, men's basketball. It's an opportunity again for K-State to get another win against a ranked team. And all of a sudden, you got a little momentum. And if you win this game, then you host KU, and you talk about a monumental win. If you could beat KU on Saturday, at Bramlage, which we'll have on Z96.3 Lake on Saturday at 2:30 with pregame and tip-off at 3, now suddenly you have a three-game winning streak. Now, that sounds crazy. I know. I know. You're sitting there going, wait, dear Lord, they're 0-4, and they beat Texas Tech. Now you're sitting there going, they'll beat Texas on the road and then beat KU at home. I'm not saying they will, but if they do, the season's completely saved.
Well, for sure, yeah. It's
completely saved.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I still need to see more before you can predict anything like that, right? But it will change for sure, the mentality. But I mean, you're still at a pretty big disadvantage right now. You have to get a win against KU if you actually want your season to be saved, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
I predict they will be 1-6 after the next two games in the conference, but that's just me, right?
All right,
they've lost to Texas at home when they had a 6-point lead at halftime. I know that was kind of when they were starting to deal with some of their COVID issues. Mm-hmm. Was right then,
right.
The first time they played Texas on January 4th at home there, and then they had a lead though, but and then couldn't hold on to it and lost. I think Texas is a team that, you know, you talk about them being ranked and at the beginning of the year, and then they're not quite that good. I think that might change for the basketball program over the next few years
with
Chris Beard.
Right.
But, I feel like that, it could change things if K-State could come out and play well against Texas and pick up a win tonight on the road. I mean, that would definitely change a lot for them and give them a lot more confidence, at least, going into the KU game coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt. Go in with two wins, going into the KU game and feeling pretty good about yourself. Confidence is a big thing, no question. K-State at Texas night, 7:30. Good luck watching on TV, unless you get the Longhorn Network. The rest of the Big 12 schedule tonight, we mentioned four games on the slate. Number 5, Baylor at West Virginia. That's up 4 o'clock today. That's odd.
The times are weird. I know yesterday it was because Martin Luther King Day. They were playing staggered games.
And NBA was playing.
Wanted a chance.
Sure.
Exactly.
But today at 4 o'clock on
Tuesday. At 4 o'clock on a non-holiday. I don't get that one, to be honest.
No, I don't either. We mentioned KU at Oklahoma tonight, 5:30 pregame on Z96.3 Lake, tip-off at 6. Of course, K-State at Texas, 7:30. And another good one tonight, very interesting. Number 15, Iowa State is at number 19, Texas Tech on ESPNU tonight at 8 o'clock. That could be a very entertaining basketball game there. Both teams play really good defense. First team in the 50 might win. Speaking of, not really defense, but offense, let's shift there. Nebraska Cornhuskers, of course, Adrian Martinez transferring to Kansas State, as we know. Nebraska has made some strides with the transfer portal when it comes to quarterbacks. Speaking of Texas is what I should have said. Coach Scott Frost, Nebraska, brought in former Texas quarterback Casey Thompson as a transfer. Thompson started 10 games for the Longhorns, threw for 2,400 yards, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, has a lot of upside. And now Chuba Purdy, who is a highly recruited kid who was at Florida State but couldn't crack the starting lineup, he was choosing between Oklahoma and Nebraska. He chose Nebraska. So now Nebraska has two legitimate guys that have a lot of potential on their roster at quarterback. And I think Casey Thompson will end up being your starter. And then Purdy will be the backup. And then we'll see what happens after 1 year because everybody transfers. They don't get the job. Who knows? But that'd be a good, healthy competition for Nebraska Cornhusker football. So we're talking about KU making some strides. At least it looks like in the offseason. Nebraska perhaps finding a couple of guys that can play quarterback for quite some time to come in the future. At least on paper, it looks pretty good.
Yeah. Get him set and get this kid to where he needs to be. He could has potential for sure.
No doubt. The Raiders have fired their general manager, Mike Mayock, which doesn't bode well for interim coach Rick Pacella, although it was really cool. I saw this. I think he deserves the job with the Raiders based on what he did, and the team loves him. And he wrote thank you notes to every single player after the playoff game. Did you see that story? He sat down.
I actually did not.
He sat down and wrote a thank you note to every single player on the team. Wrote it. Didn't type it.
Yeah.
Didn't email it. Wrote it. That's pretty cool. Very, very cool. So he had his opportunity, and maybe he'll be a head coach somewhere else. There's 8 openings in the league. I'm sure he'd like to stay with the Raiders. We shall see. But they have no GM now. So there's only one black head coach in the National Football League right now. You know, yesterday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And the NFL is talking about all these decals and stickers that commemorate MLK Day. And yet only one black head coach out of 32 jobs. And I saw some people take some shots in the NFL about that. And it makes sense because, come on, let's be honest. You're telling me there's only one qualified black man in the country to be a head coach of 32, only one of 32 teams. Brian Flores was fired Because he knew that they had the wrong quarterback. He tried to say it when they drafted. That's all in the Dolphins. They screwed that up. They should let Brian Flores be their GM. So Flores is going to get a job, I would think, as a head coach somewhere. So that would be a second black coach. Because Tomlin's the only one right now. Tomlin, who, let's be honest, has the best track record over time of anybody right now except Bill Belichick and maybe Andy Reid. That's it. I mean, Tomlin's won 2 Super Bowls. Reid has only won 1.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a losing season in 15 seasons at Pittsburgh. Players still play hard for him, and they are not tired of the message. He's a player's coach. They love him. I would fight to the death for Mike Tomlin. I'd love to have him as my head coach. Mike Tomlin's the only African-American coach in the National Football League right now, the only head coach. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And I'll tell you this. It's all about who's the most qualified candidate. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. Whoever's the best candidate. But you cannot tell me with all of the – there's tons of assistant coaches that are black. You're telling me there's only one guy qualified to be a head coach in this league right now in the year 2022? That is complete BS.
We continue to have these retreads.
Retread white coaches.
Get jobs again, right?
Yes.
You get a guy like Urban Meyer that's never had a job and couldn't hold on to it for half a season.
Eric Bieniemy can't even get the head coach.
Yeah, for me, it's about that part of it, right? It's not about necessarily, like you said, it's the best guy for the job.
Sure.
I completely 100% agree
right.
with that.
I'm not hating on people for not hiring an African-American. What I'm saying is, what are the odds that only one NFL team has a black head coach right now?
Yeah. You can't just continuously rehire guys that have not succeeded in this league when there's probably, I feel like better options. Yeah,
Eric Bieniemy
should have had a job by now. And I don't know if that's – maybe it's him. Maybe he's just like going to these interviews and blowing them. And maybe he doesn't even want a head coaching job. Maybe in public he says he does, and he really just is waiting for the right opportunity. I don't know what's going on with him. But you would feel like he would have a head coaching job before now. And, again, his name's going to be coming up with a lot of vacancies here. We'll find out if he gets a job or not as a head coach. I know interviewing with the Broncos, whatever, this week, and some other teams probably going to look at him. But it's wild to me that there's only one guy – and it's Mike Tomlin, who's been there for forever. I mean, he's got the track record, so he keeps his job.
Sure. Dan Campbell got hired by the Lions, and I just shook my head. I'm like, that guy hasn't done anything as a head coach in this league. Why does he get another chance? I'm okay with him getting another chance, but I don't get it. You know, Leslie Frazier was head coach once. He hasn't got another chance, but Dan Campbell does. Jim Caldwell, I don't think he's got a second chance since being at the Colts, has he, as a head coach?
Where was he at as a head coach?
Was he a Lions? I think he's Lions.
He was a Lions coach. Yeah.
So he at least got a second chance. Brian Flores, top coaching candidates right now in National Football League that are available. Brian Flores is at the top of many people's list and should be.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk about Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. If you back up the Brinks truck, maybe. You can get paid more in college than pro. So why would you
go
pro?
I don't know why he'd leave that job, to be honest, after making the playoff this year.
I agree. Doug Peterson, who, you know, he won a Super Bowl and got ran out of town 2 years later. He's a retread, but at least he's won a Super Bowl. Eric Bieniemy, every year we go through the song and dance. He gets punished because the Chiefs go deep in the playoffs. Oh, come on. Other top coordinators for teams that make the Super Bowl get head coaching jobs.
Matt Nagy had a job.
Matt Nagy got it.
They didn't go that deep when he was there.
But. Right. But that's an excuse. Byron Leftwich is an African-American man. He's offensive coordinator of the Buccaneers. They're saying that he is a top candidate. So I've given you three of the top candidates out there, that, according to this story on NBC Sports, are black. Brian Daboll, offensive coordinator with the Bills. Now, he's white, and he hasn't been a head coach in the NFL. So I say, hey, all for it. Raheem Morris, defensive coordinator with the Rams. He's been a head coach in the National Football League. He was also with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and oddly enough, the Rams play the Buccaneers coming up on Sunday. And if the Rams beat the Buccaneers and their defense plays well against Tom Brady, Raheem Morris' stock goes way up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then, of course, every year, Josh McDaniels is a candidate. Offensive coordinator Patriots, he was not a good head coach. Nathaniel Hackett, he's never been a head coach. He's white with the Packers. Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator at Dallas Cowboys, a hot commodity, as is Dan Quinn, who was a head coach of the Falcons, who blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. I think Dan Quinn deserves another shot. I mean, the players played for him. 28-3, I mean, he should be a Super Bowl winning coach.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that he can win. This one's interesting to me. Kellen Moore is only 33 years old, and there are people talking about how he's a head coaching candidate. There are rumors that the Dallas Cowboys might fire Mike McCarthy because they really don't want somebody else to take Kellen Moore away from them. So that they would elevate Kellen Moore for offensive coordinator at age of 33 to head coach because they don't want to lose Kellen Moore. Like, they'd fire Mike McCarthy to keep Kellen Moore. That was the rumor. Now, the Cowboys came out yesterday, said publicly, that listen, we're very confident that Mike McCarthy's going to be our head coach next year, which I think is funny when the Cowboy brass says we're very confident. All you got to do is say he is our head coach.
Yeah.
You don't have to say we're very confident.
We're confident.
You're in charge, Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones. You can say he's your head coach next year, which means they're leaving the door ajar in case somebody wants to come after Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore, and they say, listen, we'll make Dan Quinn our head coach, or we'll make Kellen Moore our head coach. What I find hilarious about the Dallas Cowboys is that the guy that called the controversial quarterback draw that caused all the problems at the end of the Dallas Cowboy playoff game, you know who made that call? Kellen Moore!
Kellen Moore.
So let me get this right. The Cowboys want to promote the guy that called for and convinced the head coach to do a quarterback draw with 14 seconds left, and they miserably, just totally botched it. Horrible execution. Dak Prescott said afterwards, oh, well, we practiced that a lot. Well, obviously they taught you the wrong way to practice it, or you guys forgot what to do. So, but that still falls eventually on coaches getting them prepared. And Kellen Moore is one of those coaches. He's offensive coordinator. So it's, I find it hilarious. Now, if you're a Cowboy fan and you thought that call was great, then you shouldn't have a problem if Kellen Moore's your new head coach. But if you have a big problem with that call, and you're upset with the offense that was stagnant against good teams but great against bad teams, then why should you want Kellen Moore to be your head coach, and why are the Cowboys considering that? Like, Mike McCarthy took him from 6-10 to 12-5. That's an improvement. As I said, Mike McCarthy is a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. He's a coach that's going to get you the playoffs. He might even get you a playoff win or two. He's not a guy that's going to win you a Super Bowl unless you give him a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he only can do that once in 9 years with Aaron Rodgers. Only got to the Super Bowl once, and they happen to win it as a 6 seed with Aaron Rodgers. And Jordy Nelson's on that team as well. But Kellen Moore, Kellen Moore is the answer for the Cowboys. I mean, I think he's overrated, because their offense was great against bad teams and not so great against the really good teams. And the Cowboys are going to promote a guy that made that call all along that Cowboy fans are really upset with. Some are. Some are upset with the officials still, but some are very upset with the play call. You're going to elevate the guy that made the call, who convinced the coach, and you're going to fire the coach because the coach agreed to do what that guy said to do, and then you're going to give the guy that really made the decision the head coaching job. I'm confused. That's Dallas Cowboy football, man. So I don't think that's going to happen, actually. I think Mike McCarthy will be back with the Cowboys. I don't know. You know, it is tough to say. You know, it's about expectations, obviously. But the Cowboys, listen, you keep changing head coaches all the time, that's not going to get you anywhere. It just isn't. And Mike McCarthy, I don't think he's the answer to get you to the Super Bowl. And if you think he's not the answer to get you to the Super Bowl, then I guess you fire him. But here's the thing. You knew that and should have known that when you hired him.
Yeah.
So to me, the mistake was when you hired him. Or you hired him at all. Because to me, if you go strictly off what he did from 6-10 to 12-5, defense got better. Part of that, certainly Dan Quinn, getting him as defensive coordinator. And Kellen Moore, who some people think did a great job this year, offense coordinator. If those both of them leave to take a head coaching job elsewhere, well then, guess what? Mike McCarthy will really have to prove how great of a coach he is. But to me, you know, you win your division, you're a number 3 seed, you go 12-5, and you lose in the final seconds in a playoff game. I don't know. I don't think you should be fired. But if you're the Cowboys or some of these top great teams and you believe that he isn't the answer and it's Super Bowl or bust, which I think is somewhat funny to the Cowboys since they can't even get to a conference title game before they can talk about Super Bowl or bust, then I guess you get rid of him. But I don't think Kellen Moore's the answer, but whatever. Patrick Graham is African-American. He's a defensive coordinator for the Giants. He's being listed as a candidate. Jared Mayo, African-American. Linebackers coach of the Patriots, supposedly some interviews. Kevin O'Connell, offensive coordinator with the Rams. Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator of the Cowboys. Leslie Frazier, African-American, defensive coordinator with the Bills, was head coach of the Vikings for 3 years but had a losing record. Those are some of the head coaching candidates that are out there. So I've got, right on that list, 5 or 6 African-American guys. How many of those do you think will actually get the head coaching job?
Maybe one.
I think there might be 2.
Well, Flores, I guess, if we
Flores and one
and,
other.
And one other.
Which means 3 of the 32, based on our prediction, 3 of 32 NFL coaches will be African-American. That is less than 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So is there discrimination? Are these guys not getting a job because of the color of skin? Or is it that they're just not as qualified as white men? I, I, I don't know. I'm not in the interview process. I have no idea. But I just find it amazing that these guys are so brilliant as defensive offensive coordinators, but they're not smart enough to be head coaches. That blows my mind.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, that's the point.
I know a lot of white guys have been head coaches that didn't know what they're doing. See Joe Judge.
Yeah.
Who will probably get a job before some of these other African-American coaches get their first head coaching job. He'll probably get another shot at it. Judge McDaniels was not a great head coach. He's going to get another shot at it if he wants it.
Yeah.
I don't know what is so great about him. The Broncos apparently are interested in Dan Quinn quite a bit, which is interesting because they went defensive coach with Fangio. Mm-hmm. Now you go to Quinn. But like I said, he had a pretty good run with the Falcons, and if they didn't blow a 28-3 lead against Patriots, he'd have a Super Bowl ring to flash to everybody. And the Cowboys' defense was definitely better this year. And some of it was personnel, getting Micah Parsons, Defensive Rookie of the Year, more than likely. But Dan Quinn, of course, did a great job with the Cowboys' defense improving where they were last year. They were a train wreck last year. So those are some of the big candidates. And to me, when I look at this list of NFL coaching candidates, to me, number one on the list is Brian Flores. I think what he did in Miami, you give him listen, if the Chargers want to get rid of Brandon Staley and go at Brian Flores, look out. But they won't. Because they just have Brandon Staley. But if I'm the Broncos, I go after Brian Flores. But you need to get him a quarterback. That would be helpful. But if I'm Flores and I get a pick of the litter, you know, where do I want to go? The Bears have an opening. Who are all the teams that have openings? The Giants have an opening. The Bears have an opening.
Yeah,
the Vikings, that's an interesting one. You have Kirk Cousins. You got weapons. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Flores, a defensive-minded coach. Minnesota has fallen down defensively lately. Perhaps, that would be a good fit for Brian Flores. I'm going to pull up the vacancies here.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to pull it up here. NFL vacancies.
Obviously, the Raiders, you don't know what they're doing yet, but...
Yeah, you don't know what the Raiders are going to do. They have an interim coach, but here's the openings. You got the Raiders, the Broncos, the Dolphins, the Bears, the Vikings, the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Texans. Well, the Texans not very attractive at all if you don't have Deshaun Watson. The other thing they're talking about is if Flores went somewhere, let's say he went to the Giants and they traded for Deshaun Watson. But the Giants and people are going to be happy with that with his off the – field issues and legal issues right now. Is that going to be accepted? You know, the Bears got a young quarterback, Justin Fields. Miami, obviously, Flores, that's where he left. And, you know, people talk about Denver trading for Russell Wilson. There's rumors of that. Or they might go get Deshaun Watson. Okay, you put Watson in Denver and you have Flores with him. That would make sense if you're Denver.
Aaron Rodgers was a done deal to Denver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. According to Bronco fans, it was. I don't think Aaron Rodgers leaving Green Bay even after this year. I think he's a Packer for life. He talked all that stuff. They had the falling out. I think it's healed somewhat. They had to win a Super Bowl. Do you think he's leaving Green Bay?
No.
No. You know, Jacksonville.
If he retires, he would. The only thing I could see him doing if they win the Super Bowl is just say, I'm walking off into the sunset. We're out of here. Jordan Love, this is your team now.
It's a good way to go out, no doubt. Elway went out with a title. Jacksonville's intriguing to me because you have Trevor Lawrence. You got some talent there. The only problem is there's a lot of questions with ownership.
Yeah.
And if you have a problem with ownership, I don't think you want to go to Jacksonville. Houston's got a mess in their front office and just fired a guy after 1 year in the Deshaun Watson situation. Although Davis Mills, you know, looked like maybe he could be something. So Houston's not attracted to me. Jacksonville's not attracted to me. The Giants, they got a problem with the salary cap and everything else. I wouldn't go to New York, all the pressure. Minnesota, to me, makes the most sense. And if you don't get Kirk Cousins, maybe you draft a younger quarterback. You find Cousins is let go, and you go get Jimmy Garoppolo from the Niners to fill the gap and develop a younger quarterback. Maybe that's the way to go. Maybe you go get Deshaun Watson. I don't know. The Vikings to me is attractive. The Bears, if I'm Brian Flores, is attractive. You have Justin Fields. You get the Bears defense. So the Dolphins, I think, is attractive, but I'm not sold on Tua at all. And the Broncos is attractive if they find a quarterback because they've got a solid defense. Mm-hmm. They got some wide receivers. I think the Broncos are attractive. The Raiders, I think, have some attraction as well. So those are the jobs that are out there. There's eight jobs. 25% of the NFL head coaching jobs are open. Think about that. Eight of the 32, and we just said we think only two African-American coaches will get jobs. So what we're saying is Brian Flores and then one of the others. Is this the year Eric Bieniemy is finally going to get a head coaching job? Something tells me it isn't. I don't know what it is. I just think he won't. I could see Raheem Morris maybe getting a chance, or Byron Leftwich would have an opportunity, I think. But it is interesting, isn't it? When you look at those candidates that I just threw out at you, Okay, and Flores, former head coach. Harbaugh's head coach, college offensive-minded guy. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl, offensive-minded guy, came from the Andy Reid coaching tree. Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator. Who does he have as his quarterback?
Patrick Mahomes,
all right. Byron Leftwich is a top candidate. Who's his quarterback?
Tom Brady.
Okay. Brian Daboll's the offensive coordinator of Bills. Who's his quarterback?
Josh Allen.
Yeah, you see a trend here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Raheem Morris, defensive coordinator of Rams. Think about him. He has Aaron Donald, Vaughn Miller, Leonard Floyd, Jalen Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
Josh McDaniels did a pretty good job of Mac Jones this year. He had Tom Brady that helped build his career and get him a job. Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator of Packers. Who's his head coach? Or excuse me, who's his quarterback?
Maybe Aaron Rodgers should be the head coach, too.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers, yes.
Aaron Rodgers. Okay. Kellen Moore, who's his quarterback?
I'm Dak.
He's a pretty good quarterback. Yeah, it is interesting. And then Jared Mayo, the Patriots had an outstanding defense this year. Kevin O'Connell, he has a good quarterback in Matthew Stafford,
yeah.
Has some weapons there. So the point I'm trying to make is usually your offensive coordinators, the guys that you look at to be your next head coach, their offensive coordinators, they don't come from middle-of-the-pack quarterbacks. They
you
come
sit here
from
and
teams
ride coattails to get a head coaching job. There's no doubt about it, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels doesn't get a job without Tom Brady.
No.
There's no way.
No.
He doesn't get a job. Byron Leftwich might not get a job without Tom Brady. Over the next 4 or 5 years, 6 years, there might be a couple of Chiefs offensive coordinators that get head coaching jobs because of Patrick Mahomes. Or you could argue because of Andy Reid. That's how Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson got jobs, because of Andy Reid. So
we're talking about quarterbacks coach for Chiefs.
Matt Nagy, wasn't an offensive coordinator.
And he was in his last year.
We think.
When Peterson left and went to Philly, yeah. But I'm talking right now.
Yeah.
Kafka, who's their quarterback coach
Kafka.
Right now?
Yeah. Kafka.
Yeah.
And he's got an interest from
there's people
before.
That are talking about him.
Right.
Could be possibly be a head coach. And he's not even been a coordinator yet. And so with the Chiefs anyway. And so, you know, that's the thing is you do. I mean, every offensive coach is riding coattails of an elite quarterback to get a head coaching job.
Absolutely.
I mean, it happens everywhere.
Right.
And, you know, and it happens with defensive coaches too. You know, they'll ride Raheem Morris can say, I'm going to ride Aaron Donald to another head coaching job. You know, I got
the point I'm trying to make is the guys that are great coordinators have what? Usually great players.
Athletes and studs.
How many times do you see these great coordinators go to a team that's rebuilding and they flame out?
They can't do it.
Because they don't have the talent.
They don't have the same guy. And that's why they want to be in that room and say, I need this quarterback.
Think about Andy Reid.
I need Justin Herbert.
Right.
You know.
And then they don't agree with you.
And you're like, okay, well, we just won 7 games in a row. And toward the end of the season here, to salvage this season, but I'm gone because...
I forgot who the quarterback was the year before Andy got there. Was that the rotated quarterback?
It was like Kyle Orton, I think.
Kyle Orton and all kinds of
I think that was the year that he was there.
Yeah, so Andy Reid, when he came in to be the head coach of the Chiefs, what was the first move that they made?
They traded for quarterback.
They traded for Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And what did they do? Suddenly they were respectable immediately.
9-0 start.
9-0. 11-5 made the playoffs. So Andy Reid wasn't stupid. It's like, I can't win with these guys at quarterback. I mean, so when you come in a new situation, that's why when you're GM, there's an opening with a GM. The current head coach, if he's still there, even if it's interim, probably not going to be a head coach. The GM's going to get his own guy. Then you get your own guy. Then guess what? The GM gets his own guy. That's the new coach. Then the coach is going to come in, and he's going to get his guy that he wants at quarterback if he's not happy with what he has that he inherits. So that's to me, if I was a head coaching candidate, and I'm not, but I love to be so I could stink and get paid a lot of money. But if I was a head coaching candidate, my first concern would be what's ownership and the GM like? Like, do I like the GM in my interviews? Like, you know, it's interesting. People talk about how you've got to impress the GM or the owner in the interview. And that's very true. But you know what also? It works the other way around. If I've got options, if I'm a very popular candidate like Brian Flores, I'm interviewing you, the general manager and the owner, in the same process. Because if I don't like you or I don't think you and I are going to get along, you might like me and want to hire me, but I'm not sold on us being a good fit. Or I don't like some of the things you said, even though you like what I said. Or I like the GM, but the owner's going to be overbearing. Like, I don't want to work for Jerry Jones because he's overbearing. Or I don't want to work for this owner because he's overbearing. Or, you know what, the owner's great, but the GM, oh my God, he has an ego bigger than the Empire State Building. I'm going to go with a different job. Or maybe you look at it for me, the first my first number one thing would be the stability at the top. As a head coach, if you want to make it in any league or any position, you need to look at stability at the top. Okay? That's important. After you establish the stability at the top, then as an NFL football coach, your next spot to look at is quarterback. That's the pecking order. Because you can sit here and go, well, what about defense? What about offensive line? No. It starts with your quarterback. You have virtually no chance to win a title without a stud quarterback anymore. It's just the way the game has evolved. You're not going to see Trent Dilfer winning Super Bowls. You ain't going to see it anymore. You're not going to see Jeff Hostetler winning Super Bowls. You just don't, because the game is different. It's all about offense. We talk about the rules are designed to help the offense. You can't even touch the quarterback without getting a personal foul, as we saw Brady get another call against the Eagles the other day that was wrong. So we're going to protect the quarterbacks. They're going to stay on the field most of the time. They're not going to be hurt, which I'm okay with, because, of course, my team has a great quarterback in my home, so I'm cool with that. But at the end of the day, you've got to have stability at the top as a GM and owner combination. An owner and GM to get along well with each other. And then you need to fit in, or you think you can fit in. And then you got to get your quarterback. Or perhaps you pick the team that you interview for three jobs, and all three are pretty solid. GM, owner, pretty good. I like it. What's the extenuating factor? What's the difference? What's the tie-breaking thing? Quarterback. My defense isn't any good. We can rebuild the defense. The offensive line isn't very good. I can find linemen in the draft. Yeah. But the draft this year, trying to find a quarterback, good luck with that, because there aren't a lot of great quarterbacks coming out this year in the draft. So I've got to go a place that has a quarterback.
Established.
So, you know, you look at the openings. The Raiders have Derek Carr. I can win with Derek Carr. I don't think I win a title, but I can win with Derek Carr.
I win with Alex Smith, right?
Right,
and,
exactly.
And then maybe I'll find my franchise guy later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't win with anybody in Denver at quarterback, I don't think. I need somebody. Give me Jimmy G. I probably got a chance in Denver. But I'm not going there unless we can get the quarterback. Miami, I'm not sold on Tua, or maybe you are, so you take the job. Kirk Cousins, listen, I don't think that's the answer, so I'm not taking Minnesota. You know, Justin Fields isn't established, but I think he's the real deal. Maybe that's your job, Chicago. Yeah. Or Trevor Lawrence, but then you go, the owner's got problems. Well, I don't want to go there. Houston, if Deshaun Watson was healthy, and well, he is healthy, but if he didn't have legal problems, I'd go there. Yeah. But that's not going to work. And they have a train wreck in their upper management. So the jobs that are open, some of them aren't very attractive, to be quite frank with you. So if you're Eric Bieniemy, do you just take a job to take a job? Or do you say, I'm going to wait another year? Because it's not like Airbnb is going to lose interest from people, because the Chiefs are going to be good as long as Patrick Mahomes is his quarterback and stays healthy. So it is very interesting to see how this shakes out. But to me, there's not this bona fide, super attractive job that's out there. The one that would be super attractive would be Houston with Deshaun Watson if he was, you know, no problems.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still questions with your upper management. But that's what you do when you're searching for jobs. If you have a good, solid job where you are, like most of these guys do, they're coordinators. They don't have to take a head coaching job. Many people think they have to. They don't have to. If they don't like it, they can wait another year and roll the dice and still get paid pretty well. Now, if you really badly want to be a head coach, do you really want to go in a situation where you're destined to fail? No.
No.
No, no way. Jose. And I think some coaches do go in those situations knowing they're going to probably fail, think they can, or they think they're so great that they can overcome everything. And then they get in for a rude awakening. And then it could end up cost you even getting a second chance at a job unless you're white.
Yeah.
Then you got a better chance of having a second chance at a job if you're white. At least that's what the history proves in the National Football League. And that is very unfortunate. And maybe it's just complete coincidence. I think most people would argue it isn't. But the proof's in the pudding. Right now, currently, there is one head coach in the National Football League that's employed that is African-American. Only one. Out of 32. There are now 8 vacancies, so there's a chance for that number to go up. And Brian Flores was just fired after having a winning season. 9-8, had a winning season, back-to-back seasons, that improvement for the Dolphins, and he was fired. And he is one of the few that's out there that is not employed right now. But I guarantee you, if he don't get a head coaching job, somebody will hire him as a defensive coordinator in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm, so
the point is, all these guys that have the opportunity that are top coaching candidates, they're not going to be unemployed if they don't get a head coaching job. The Chiefs aren't going to kick Eric Bieniemy to the curb if he doesn't get a head. So they've got more leverage than people think. And you don't have to just go get a job to get a job as a head coach. You want to make sure that you find the right spot. And there were some rumors that that's why Bieniemy didn't get a job last year, was that he wasn't really interested big into the opportunities that were out there. It just wasn't super attractive. And we just went through all eight openings, and every one of them has significant flaws. So do you want to be a head coach in the National Football League right now, or do you want to wait a year? Or do you think you're going to be the heir apparent and take over Andy Reid in 3 years? Do you wait it out when Mahomes still in his prime? I don't know. We see this in college football. Coaches in waiting, right? Which that hasn't worked super well, to be quite honest with you. For me, I'm all about stinking. So I'm going to go in, I'm going to get my money, and I'm going to – I have no big ego. We lose, we lose. I get my money, and I'm out. Because there's really only one profession that I'm aware of where you can just absolutely stink almightier than thou and get a whole buttload of money, and that's coaching football.
Yeah.
It's a American way, man.
Let me cash that check.
Let me cash the check. I'm not afraid to do it. I'm not afraid to do it. I'll fight. I'll win. I'm competitive. I'll try to win as many games as I can as a head coach. But if I'll go in a situation knowing that I'm up against it, you know what? I'll take my – give me as much money as I can get. I'll be your savior. And then 8 weeks into it, you know I'm not. Hand me the check. I'll walk away. I'm willing and able, everyone. All right, games of the day on the radio again.
Yeah, Katy Country 94. We have semifinals of the Northern Plains League Tournament. Again, we'll get started with the St. John's Tipton Osborne girls. Pre-game coverage beginning at 2:50 and tip-off at 3 o'clock in the first semifinal there, followed by the boys' contest between Lakeside and Osborne about 4:30. Around 6 o'clock, Lincoln and Sylvan Lucas. And then at 7:30, the boys' contest, Lincoln-Sylvan Lucas girls, by the way, around 6. And then 7:30, boys' contest, St. John's Tipton against Sylvan Lucas here this evening. All those times after the 3 o'clock first game are approximate today.
And the wrestling locker room chats, quick grind.
They'll be posted online only again today, and we'll have them on this afternoon on KatyCountry94.com and the locker room chat podcast. So be looking out for those.
Fantastic. Enjoy all the coverage today on the radio. Hope you appreciate the coverage all week long with basketball and wrestling. And a big thanks to our sponsors for making all of it possible.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.